Now I want you to turn with me to one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the entire Bible, Psalm 23. I'm sure that many of you could recite that from memory tonight. Perhaps it's one of the very first passages of Scripture that you learned. You've heard it many times, and as we read it together tonight, I hope that it will be a real blessing to your heart. Psalm 23. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. And after our prayer, I want you to remain standing with your Bibles open, and I want you to read with me the 23rd Psalm. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the shepherd of our soul. We thank Thee that we have a song within our hearts, and that indeed we sing because we're happy. We sing because we're free. We know His eye is upon the sparrow, and we know He ever watches over us. Oh, may we learn to love Him more than we've ever loved Him before. May we adore Him. May we honor Him. May we acknowledge Him in time and for eternity as the only Savior of the world. Now we pray for those who are in our midst tonight who need to make decisions for Thee and for the church and for their lives to be rededicated to Christ and the work that Thou hast given them to do. And as we shall read Thy word together, may it be more than just a reading, but may it be a message from Thee to us in these days as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's read together as we remain standing, Psalm 23 at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, and as you are seated, I remind you that no other psalm in all of the 150 psalms is so well loved as the 23rd. Perhaps none is more frequently quoted. I have used it personally in my own ministry in many funerals. It's so comforting. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I'm glad that in the hour of death we can have words of comfort like this. Amen. But the thing that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ is not only good to die by, but it's good to live by. And I think the 23rd Psalm and its wonderful message can be applied in our everyday life. I want us just to go down each verse, taking it, in some cases, a word at a time, or a phrase at a time, or a sentence at a time, and see just what God has for us in this great 23rd Psalm. It begins, "The Lord." Now, immediately, someone who is not familiar with Scripture or biblical terminology, who is yet in the darkness, and there are multiplied millions around the world, who have never once heard that name in their own language. We take far too much for granted while we are seated in our comfortable cushioned seats, in our air-conditioned sanctuaries, with the fineries of life all around this globe tonight. People are begging for someone to come with a word of life. The Lord. Who is the Lord? These people in darkness, in superstition, might ask. Well, you know, that question was asked by a man called Pharaoh, who sat upon the throne of Egypt. A stammering, stuttering, shall I call him a Baptist preacher, by the name of Moses. And his brother Aaron, who was later to become the high priest, stood in the place of God before Pharaoh and said to that godless, ruthless tyrant, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh asked, "Who is the Lord?" And so God set Moses up as the teacher. And in 10 easy lessons, he learned who is the Lord. One of those lessons was the turning of all the water in Egypt to blood. One of them was the bringing forth of frogs. They had frogs in the bed. They had frogs in the cupboard. They had frogs in their sandals. They had frogs in the coffee. They had frogs in the tea. They had frogs in the milk. They had frogs all over the place. Then they had lice and they had flies and they had darkness. And finally they had death. And Pharaoh must have said in his own heart, "Now I know who the Lord is." Herod Agrippa I sat on his throne one day and gave a great oration. And the people who heard him said, "It is the voice of a god and not of man." And Herod Agrippa said, "I know you don't mean it, but say it again. Makes me feel good. It is the voice of a god and not of a man." Herod Agrippa knew better than that. He knew that he was no god. He knew that he was flesh and blood. He knew that he was a mortal man. But he did not correct those people. And Acts chapter 12 says that while he sat on his throne in his royal array, that God sent worms and destroyed his body. I can think of no more horrible death than to have worms to bore into the body. While one yet lives and destroys that body, Herod Agrippa, the great grandson of Herod the Great, learned the lesson, who is the Lord? A man in the Old Testament by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, the only man in the Old Testament that took the title that Jesus Christ only is deserving of, King of Kings. They called him their great king, and he made a great oration. Look at my kingdom. Look at all the peoples and all the provinces, 127 provinces, stretching all the way from India to Ethiopia. I am the king. And God sent Nebuchadnezzar out in the field to graze like an ox. And the Bible says his nails did grow as claws, and he grew feathers on his body like a beast. Till he recognized who is the Lord and gave God the glory. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is Jehovah. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. He is Jehovah Elohim, the Almighty God, who sits upon the throne, ruling the universe tonight. The Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of mankind, he who put the earth into orbit and put the moon there to give light by night, and the sun to give light by day, and the stars to twinkle in their sockets. Who is the Lord? He is God omnipotent. He is God omnipresent. He is God omniscient. The Lord is, look at that word, Some people pray, and Lord save us all at last. I put no stock in that kind of religion. I am just as much saved right now as I ever shall be, as far as my soul is concerned. I would not thank an angel to come to this platform and say to me, you are saved, because I already know it. The Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you're passed from death unto life. The Lord not has been. You know, there are a lot of has-beens in the Christian era tonight. A lot of people who go around saying what I used to do and what I used to be. Let me help you. God is not concerned about what you used to do. God is concerned about what you're doing now. Now is God's time. It's the present time. Not the Lord shall be my shepherd someday in the end. But the Lord is right now. John writes in his beloved epistle, 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath, did you get that? H-A-T-H, right now, every man that hath that hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now are we the sons of God. The Lord is tonight my shepherd and yours if you're a Christian. The Lord is my. Look at that word. This business of our relationship to God is a very personal relationship. God does not save us in wholesale numbers. God saves us individually. And I'm convinced of this. Some of you will remember what some people called our cowboy missionary, Brother Bircher, to Germany. Brother Bircher said, if I had been the only sinner in all of this world, Jesus Christ would have died for me. I believe that tonight. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Personal relationship. The Lord who loved me and gave himself for me, the Lord is my. The Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 22, he is my good shepherd, giving his life for me. In Psalm 23, he is my great shepherd, taking care of all my needs. In Psalm 24, he is my chief shepherd, coming again to rule and reign upon this earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is my shepherd. What does the shepherd do for the sheep? He guards the sheep. He guides the sheep. He governs the sheep. He meets the individual personal needs of every sheep within his flock. He knows them by name. No wonder the psalmist said later on, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. That next phrase says, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want a bed for rest. I shall not want a table for food. I shall not want a home for shelter. I shall not want peace in the hour of war and trouble. I shall not want water in the hour of my thirst. I shall not want bread in the hour of my hunger. I shall not want comfort in the hour of my sorrow. I shall not want for a healer in the hour of my sickness. I shall not want a companion in the hour of my loneliness. I shall not want for a light in the hour of darkness. I shall not want for strength in the hour of weakness. I shall not want. I shall not want for life in the hour of death. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I shall not want. The next phrase says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes, you know, we get so busy, so bothered, so engaged, so involved, that we don't take time to lie down in green pastures of God's Word. We don't take the time to lie down in the green pastures of God's comforting, consoling Spirit. He maketh me. He knows what's best for us. The little sheep, and I think sheep can be compared to Baptist as much as any animal in all the world. You know, a sheep can't see 25 feet ahead of it. If we didn't have the shepherd to lead us, we'd be in darkness. And the little sheep would just keep on going from one place to another, getting a little bit more here and a little bit more there and a little bit more there. But the shepherd knows what's best for that sheep. And the shepherd makes that sheep lie down. You know, the sheep out of this flock would go over to another flock if the shepherd didn't keep him in line. You know, I believe that people ought to be loyal and faithful to their own church. Don't misunderstand me. A lot of people are visiting around and looking for churches in these days, and that's good if God is leading you to do that. But I mean as a regular and faithful member. For a member just to take off and say, well, I'm going over here tonight, or I'm going over yonder next week, I don't think that's right. I think you belong in your own church when there's a service there. I don't care who's preaching where. If there is a service in your flock, in your church, I believe you ought to be there. Well, I'm just sort of peculiar about things like that. But you see, I'm the under shepherd. God has put you in my charge and in my care. And I'm going to do my best to lead you in the right way. And keep in the right fold, and eating in the right pasture, and doing the right thing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, the little sheep is easily frightened. If he gets by rough, uncontrollable waters, he's frightened easily. The good shepherd doesn't lead us in those places. He leads us beside the still waters, the pacific waters, the placid waters, the calm waters, the cool waters. We can bathe our weary feet from the long journey of our Christian walk and our Christian experience. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, the he here is the personal pronoun that refers back to the Lord. The Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord restoreth my soul. You know, sometimes when we get bogged down in the everyday activities of life, and we become somewhat in a rut, we become dry and barren. And then we can go where the Word of God is wont to be taught and is wont to be preached. And there we get the refreshing from the Lord for our souls. He restoreth my soul. He brings me to a higher plane. He lifts me to a higher hill. He brings me to an elevated position in Him where I can be closer to Him. Sometimes we go down in the valley, but wherever there's a valley, there is a mountain. He leads us to higher ground to restore our dry and barren and discouraged and despondent soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. God never, the good shepherd has never and never shall lead one of his own sheep into any unrighteous transaction. He leadeth me
in the paths of righteousness. Now, sometimes the pathway of duty takes us out on the fringe element. And we're exposed there to dangers. And darkness lurks there. And the clouds are close there. And the ways of Satan, the pernicious, diabolical, scheming ways of Satan are there. The pitfall is there. The valley of despondency is there. But he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
If in the course of your duty or the course of your Christian experience you go through the valley of sorrow, it's still a path of righteousness. If you go through the valley of loneliness, it's still a path of righteousness. If you go through the valley of despair and despondency and all sorts of reverses in life, it is still a path of righteousness, because my shepherd doesn't lead us anywhere except in the paths of righteousness. The path of the Christian's duty is a path of righteousness. For his name's sake. Did you realize that God has a whole lot invested in you? He has given his only begotten son, his darling son. He has given the jewel of heaven. He has given the only son of his loins, as it were. God has invested a wonderful book in us. God has invested a wonderful organism, the church. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, God is concerned about his own name. He's not going to lead us anywhere that will bring shame or dishonor to his name. For his name's sake, he leads us in the path of righteousness. The next phrase says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, death is the common denominator of us all. Death levels everybody. A great senator passed to his reward today, Senator Dirksen. Death hits the Congress. The former Episcopal bishop, ironically, lost his life in the land of the Bible. In the land that produced the book that the late Bishop Pike said is not really, in essence, the Word of God. In the land where Jesus walked and where the prophets of old walked, Bishop Pike lost his life in the land where those came who said, a virgin is going to be born. Bishop Pike said the virgin birth doesn't mean anything. Ironically enough, he died in the land of the Bible. Death is coming. It comes to churchmen. It comes to congressmen. It comes to workers. It comes to the white-collar job. It comes in the sewer. It comes in the trucking business. It comes in all sorts of the areas of life. Death is coming. The Bible declares in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death may be nearer than we think. There is but one heartbeat, and it's all over. Death. 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 Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you see, my shepherd has kept me in life. I shall trust him to keep me in death. I said to him a long time ago, here is my case, be my lawyer. Here is my soul, be my savior. Here is my body, be my guide. I come down to the cold reaches of death. I shall say to him, Here I am, lead me across and through the valley of death. And I know that he shall never leave me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you young people, I've looked at you 5 times. Please don't do that in church. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you old folks don't look to see who it is either. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil. I don't have to fear death. He's with me. I don't have to fear the judgment, for I settled my case a long time ago. I don't have to fear what the Russians are going to do. I don't have to fear what the Chinese are going to do. I don't have to fear what the grim monster of death is going to do. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The same shepherd that started out with me in the beginning of my life is with me tonight, and he shall be with me in the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here's the little sheep. He's out there grazing. He hears a strange noise. He looks at the shepherd's rod. He goes on grazing. Here is another little sheep. He sees an unfamiliar form making its way out of the bushes. He looks at the shepherd's staff. He keeps on grazing. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou art with me. Thou art comforting me. Thy rod and thy staff, thou anointest my head with oil. The little shepherd bumps his head once in a while. He gets a sore place on his head. He runs through the bush, the underbrush, and scratches his head. But the kind and tender and loving hands of the shepherd takes the oil of healing and anoints that little bruise and that little cut. Thou anointest my head with oil. The Judean shepherd, every night when the sheep came in, inspected each one of them. This one with a little bruise, the little cut place, the little scratch on his head. He took the oil and anointed it. My cup runneth over. The Judean shepherd had the cup that was full of water. It wasn't half full. It was full and running over. And the little sheep put its little face down in that cup. And the waters that were cool and refreshing refreshed his weary and troublesome face. My cup runneth over. Surely, no mistake about it. Positively, emphatically, surely. Two things, goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. Here I go, out into life. Here you go, out into life. Wherever your path leads, wherever duty demands, wherever you're supposed to be, wherever you want to be, in line of duty. Two fellows are following you, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just tonight, not just tomorrow, not just next week, all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad there's a mansion waiting us. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
All because of one thing. There was a day. There was a time. And I could take you to within 6 inches of that place when I knelt in an old-fashioned service at an old-fashioned altar. And I opened the door of my heart and I said, Lord Jesus, come in. And he came in. And I've been saved ever since. And the next time you see me, I'll be saved. And when we come to the end of the way, I shall be saved. And while the multitudes who have refused and dishonored and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ are lifting their cries in a devil's hell, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not go in just to stay for a while. I shall dwell there. I shall take up my residence there. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And glad the Lord is my shepherd. What about you? Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, tonight, we truly thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for our great shepherd, for our good shepherd, for our chief shepherd. We thank thee that he has made all of these things possible for us. We shall never want. We shall have peace. We shall have pardon. We shall have his presence with us all the days of our lives. And we know, Heavenly Father, according to thy word, we shall dwell forever in the house of the Lord. Now, Father, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. And should there be those without the Savior in this congregation, we pray that they might come to know him, to trust him, to believe on him, to honor him, to embrace him, to receive him as their own personal Savior. And Heavenly Father, should there be those who are seeking a church home, who need to be identified with a church that stands forthrightly for the gospel without compromise, may they come tonight and identify themselves with this body. For those, Heavenly Father, who are indeed saved and they are Christians and they are members of the church, but they feel in their own hearts they have a need to dedicate and perhaps to rededicate their lives to thee, may they come. May they not hesitate. May they come even in these moments. May every need be supplied as our good shepherd works in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, even in these moments. As we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. While our heads are bowed and before we sing a stanza or two of the invitation hymn, if you are here tonight without the Savior, I invite you to trust him. This is the reason we're in business, is to provide you an opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we're here. If you're here tonight and you are seeking a church home and God is speaking to you and leading you in this direction, that's why we're here, to provide you a place of service and a place to worship. If you are here as a member of the church, the reason we have an altar is for people to pray. If you feel the need of prayer in your own life and God is speaking to you, I want you to come. Whatever your need is, I can assure you by the authority of God's word that your need can be supplied as you trust him, the shepherd of your soul.